I wish I could get you to pray the way that my dog goes after meat. Martin Luther is reported to have once said that to his congregation, as I have now just said it to you. I wish I could get you to pray the way that my dog goes after meat. It's a crude sentiment, especially by today's standards. Let's be honest, most of us who have dogs, we don't feed them meat. We feed them kibble. The idea of giving our dog steak or chicken for a meal is just something that most of us don't do. Now, if my mother-in-law was here, she'd be shaking her head saying, "I do," but most of us don't. The only time that our dogs get meat is when there are some scraps, some sections that we deem unfit for ourselves, or of course when something drops from the floor, or from the table to the floor. So, as crude as Luther's statement might be, have you ever seen a dog when you throw it a scrap of meat? Visualize that. That's what Luther wanted his congregation to pray like. Like that prayer was the first, best, and last prayer that they were ever going to pray. That the only thing that mattered in that moment was that prayer. While Luther's image is crude, I must confess I agree with his sentiment. Not just for you, this congregation, this church, but also for me. Sometimes we pray out of habit. And other times we pray for joy, and still sometimes we pray out of desperation. But no matter why we are praying, we should be doing so as if nothing else mattered in that given moment. Of course, at this point, you also might be a little confused, wondering why I'm preaching about prayer when our gospel reading from John dealt with Jesus' "I am the bread of life" statement. Our reading from John this morning deals with the reaction from the crowd and gives Jesus and his subsequent response to them. But this piece of scripture is important, and it should speak to us in powerful and profound ways. This statement of Jesus, "I am the bread of life," it raises the issue of nourishment. Now, earlier this week on the church website, I raised the question of hunger. And I asked, "What are you hungry for?" And I wonder this morning what you are hungry for. You see, when Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life, we have to realize that if Jesus is one of the alternatives, that there must be other sources of nourishment. We saw that this morning with the children. An Oreo cookie or a piece of bread. Two sources of nourishment. But what other sources of nourishment might exist? And let's be clear, at this point, we're not actually talking about the Oreo cookie and the bread anymore. We're not talking about a physical meal. Jesus' claim that he is the bread that came down from heaven tells us that our discussion centers on something far more important, something far more vital and central to our lives. So let's consider what other sources of nourishment we might find in the world today. Idolatry. The cult of celebrity. Ego and our inflated self-worth. Consumerism. the willful ignorance of the many problems that plague our world. These are some of the things that nourish us, that we seek out. We try to fill our lives up with these things, with these ideas, with anything that makes us feel full in a given moment. Anything that elevates our self-worth and raises our self-esteem. Anything that promises results. And we prefer those results fast, like yesterday. And if you don't believe the fast part, take a look at the weight loss industry, the promises it makes, and the millions which it reaps. We are all of us, searching for something. We who are sitting here, and the multitude of people outside those doors, searching for something. Some way to feel complete, to be made whole, to be at peace with who we are. All of us are on that journey. We are at various stages of the journey, and please take note that it is a journey. Christian discipleship is a journey. We walk in the way of Christ. That's what we were known as before we were known as Christians, people who followed the way of Jesus. And as we walk on this journey, Jesus offers himself to us. He says, "Take and eat, be filled, and never hunger again." Christ offers us living bread, a divine gift, food that will sustain us. In accepting Jesus' gift, we take part in a grand story of redemption and forgiveness, a story of love and grace. Eat the bread. Be sustained. Be filled. In looking for an image or an allegory for this, to help me explain this, I found myself thinking of Tolkien and his book, his masterpiece, The Lord of the Rings. While it's not strictly Christian allegory, Tolkien was always careful to point that out, there are certain theological images and allusions. When the Fellowship leaves one of the elven cities, they're given a gift of lembas bread. And lembas bread is used for long journeys by the elves in Tolkien's trilogy. We're told, we read, that it has amazing powers to both sustain travelers and to even bring healing to the wounded or sick. One piece of this bread was enough to last a traveler for the full day. Delicious honey flavor, it evokes images of the manna that God provided Israel in the wilderness. However, a quote from the book The Return of the King suggests that this bread had even more striking powers. The lembas, and this is a quote from The Return of the King, "The lembas had a virtue without which they would have long ago laid down to die. It did not satisfy desire, and at times Sam's mind was filled with the memories of food and the longing for simple bread and meats. And yet this whey bread of elves had potency that increased as travelers relied on it alone and did not mingle it with other foods. It fed the will, and it gave strength to endure and to master sinew and limb beyond the measure of mortal kind." This is what Jesus offers us. Jesus offers the bread of life, which will sustain us for eternity. Jesus offers us a meal that will fill us up so completely that there won't be room left for other desires. The empty promises of idolatry and our materialistic world will be seen just as that. Empty promises. Pastor Will Willimon writes, "Our hungers are so deep. We are dying of thirst. We are bundles of seemingly insatiable need, rushing here and there in a vain attempt to assuage our desire. Can it be that our bread, our wine, our fulfillment stands before us in the presence of this crucified, resurrected Jew? Can it be that many of our desires are, in the eternal scheme of things, pointless? Might it be true that he is the bread we need, even though he is rarely the bread we seek? Is it true that God has come to us miraculously with us, before us, like manna, which is miraculously dropped into our wilderness?" It's food for thought. Martin Luther said to his congregation, "I wish I could get you to pray the way that my dog goes after meat." And what do dogs do at dinner time? They hang around the table, waiting for the scraps of food to fall, because they know that that food is far better than the kibble which we normally feed them. Friends, Jesus offers us the bread of life, a meal for eternity, a meal that will always sustain you. So go after it like a dog goes after meat. And like that same dog with a bone, don't ever let go of it. Amen.